Amen. Take your Bibles this evening and turn with me, if you have them, to Psalms chapter 150. All right? Psalms chapter 150. And that is the absolute last psalm. All right? So Psalms chapter 150, the very last psalm. If you can't find it, go to the book of Proverbs and just go backwards, and you'll find it just right there. All right? So Psalms chapter 150. For our time together this evening. And we've been spending the past few weeks and really the last couple months in a conversation about what it means to be men and women and a church of prayer, what it means for us corporately as a church, but what it also means for us individually as a church. I enjoyed myself last week. I was handed, what was a history book of how the First Baptist Church came into existence. And it is not an exaggeration at all to say that the First Baptist Church was a church started by prayer. And there was a small pioneer community, and there was an individual and his family that came to the city, and they began looking for a Baptist church, and they couldn't find one. And they actually found six other Baptists in the entire city. And so they invited them over to their home, and they began having prayer meetings in their home. And that's really the history of the even a midweek service prayer meeting for the church just in general. But they began praying that the Lord would do something in this city for a church and for Baptists in this city. And wouldn't you know it, lo and behold, God said, wow, you're praying about God doing something with someone else. How about God does something with you? How many of you know that's normally the way that it goes, right? You start praying for a missionary to go to someplace, and all of a sudden you're the one that's signing up to go, and you pray, God, help someone to be a bus driver. Next thing you know, you're getting your CDL, and that's normally how it happens, and that's the way that it happened there. So it's not a stretch at all to say that the First Baptist Church began by prayer, and by the way, the First Baptist Church will continue through prayer, and only through prayer. And so we're having a conversation on these midweek services about the importance of prayer in the life of the church corporately, but also in the life of us as individuals and as individual Christians. So let me begin here tonight. It's common practice to teach your kids to say two things, right? The first, you teach them to say, please, right? You teach them to say, please. And then once they've mastered please, then you teach them to say what? Thank you. You're going to say please before you get it. And then once you get it, you teach your kid to say thank you, right? Because we work really hard at like ingraining in our children this. Why? Because it's custom, first. Because it's common courtesy. Second, because it's respectful. Third, and it's just like practical and common protocol, that this is the way that you ask for things, and then once you get something, this is the way that you give it. It's please, and it's thank you. But in God's economy, it's the opposite. In God's economy, it is not first please, and then thank you. In God's economy, it is thank you, and then please. It is first a recognition that God is the giver of all gifts, even the gift of being able to ask God for a gift. So it is first please, and then thank you. Right, so we've kind of had take homes that we've been saying throughout this thing, and this is what I want you to remember. If you forget everything else I say tonight, this is what I want you to remember. I want you to remember this: that when you pray, you should begin with praise. That when you pray, you should begin with praise. That our prayers should be dominated with praise for what God has done, for what God is doing and for what God will do. That our prayers should be dominated with praise. Praise for what God has done, praise for what God is doing, and praise for what God will do. And the immediate kind of response to that is, okay, Dave, but why? Why? Why is that necessary? Why would our prayers need to be dominated by praise? And it is really obvious on several levels, but I think the most obvious level is because it is absolutely impossible to be self-absorbed and God-conscious at the same time. It is absolutely impossible to be self-absorbed and God-conscious at the same time. And when you begin your prayers with praise, and when you begin by focusing on what God has done, on what God is doing, and on what God promises in His Word that He will do, when you begin your prayers in that way, it puts your life and your problems and your request into perspective. It has a way of just making things clear when it comes to your prayer life. That when you begin your prayers with praise, you say, thank you, God, for what you have done and for what you are doing and for what you will do and for who you are and for the greatness that you have and for the power that you have displayed. When you begin your prayers that way, by the time that you get to your request, the anxiety is removed. The worry is gone. The request is still there, but you aren't biting your fingernails hoping that you're praying to a God that is big enough to fulfill the request that you are bringing His way. You're able to bring those requests to that God and lay them confidently, not arrogantly, but confidently at His feet and know that He is a God who is big enough and wise enough and loving enough and kind enough to hear and to answer the request according to His goodwill. All right, so Psalms chapter 150, if you have your Bibles, flip there, and we're going to go through these six verses, and we're going to see the importance of praise in the life of the believer. So Psalms chapter 150, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. That's the end of the thought, because you see the period after the word Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's being said in the imperative sense. Praise ye the Lord. This is what we ought to do. This is what we ought to make a habit of doing as believers. We ought to make a habit of praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And in case you didn't get it, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise ye the Lord. Yeah, but where? Well, praise Him in His sanctuary and praise Him in the firmament of His power. If you want to follow along, we'll just outline this chapter of Scripture this evening. All right, so if you want to follow along, here's the first one. There's the places of worship. There's the places of worship. There's the places of praise. The noun is sanctuary. Praise ye the Lord, or praise God in His sanctuary. It refers to the holy presence of God. When they use the word sanctuary in the Old Testament, they generally referred to the temple. This is how they would have seen this. Praise ye the Lord in His temple. Praise ye the Lord where He dwells. The temple was the earthly residence for the power and the glory of God. Sometimes in the Bible referred to as like the Shekinah glory. You'll hear people use phrases like that. What do they mean? They mean that is simply the displaying or the visual ability to see the power of God. That when God came down to meet with His people in the temple, that is how it was understood. God was in His sanctuary. That's how God met with people in the Old Testament. Of course, when you get to the New Testament, you understand that we are the temple, right? Isn't that what Paul teaches? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And God doesn't dwell in buildings made with man's hands, but that God dwells in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and because of the sacrifice of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise God where? Praise Him in His sanctuary. Not just that, but notice, praise Him in the firmament of His power. That word firmament is the similar word that's used in Genesis chapter 1, where the heavens were made and the firmament was made. It's in reference to what God created on the second day of creation. It was the waters above the earth. It was that place of space. It's that place of our atmosphere. So the psalmist is saying, praise ye the Lord. Where? Well, praise Him where He is and where He resides, but also praise Him here on this earth. The psalmist is speaking poetically then. He's teaching us that God is to be praised where God is, and God is to be praised in what God has made. That quite literally, God is to be praised everywhere. That's what he's saying. And quite literally, God is to be praised everywhere. There is no place where the praise of the Lord our God is out of place. There's no place where praise is out of place. Praising God. Praise Him where? Praise Him on earth. Praise Him in heaven. Praise Him locally, praise Him globally. Praise God in the temple, and praise God at any other location that you find yourself. Praise God at church, and praise God when you're in your office on Monday. Praise God as you drive down the road in your car, and praise God when you get home. That's what he said. Praise Him everywhere you go. You say, well, hold on, Dave. I mean, can you praise God like that? Can you worship God like that? Well, I don't know. Let's just look at the testimony of Scripture. Noah worshiped and praised God while he was in an ark floating on the water. So, I guess you could infer, praise God while you're out on your boat. Abraham praised God on a mountain. Moses worshiped and praised God in a desert place. Job worshiped and praised God on a heap of ashes. David worshiped and praised God in a cave. Solomon worshiped and praised God in a temple. Daniel worshiped and praised God in a den of lions. The Hebrew boys worshiped and praised God in a fiery furnace. Jonah worshiped and praised God in the belly of a fish. Paul and Silas worshiped and praised God from prison. John worshiped and praised God from a deserted island. You think we got yours covered? I think we do. We are to worship and praise God everywhere and anywhere. And there is no place where the worship and praise of God should be out of place. Verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. So there are the places of praise. Next, there is the purpose of praise. Look at verse number 2. Look at verse number 2. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. So this is the primary reason, or the overall reason, for why God is to be praised and for why God is worthy of our praise. Praise Him why? Praise Him for His mighty acts and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. If you can't praise God, you won't be able to praise anything else. If you cannot talk about how good God is, you cannot talk about how good anything is. Because our God is the author and the finisher of all that is good and all that is given that is good. If you can't praise God, then you can't praise anything. If you cannot find the goodness of God, then you cannot find goodness in anything. And what you will find yourself always doing is you always find yourself on the negative outlook of life. Oh, look how bad this is. Look how awful this is. Oh, I mean, okay, fine. It might have started good, but it'll probably end bad. That's where you'll find yourself. praise and the praise of what God has done and the praise of who God is has a way of healing the hurts in our hearts. Praise for what God has done and praise for what God and who God is has a way of healing the hurt in our heart. I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life where I've been hurt in the heart. I've been wounded. I've been damaged. And praise for what God has done, His mighty acts, and praise Him according to His excellent greatness has a way of healing that. It has a way of mending that. Can you go to a couple other passages for me? Go to James chapter number 5. We spent some time in James 5 this past week, but James chapter 5. Look at verse number 15. James chapter 5, verse number 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, that phrase, the prayer of faith, has been abused and misused by many false teachers along the way. But with that phrase, the prayer of faith, it literally means confidence in who God is and confidence in what God has done. The prayer of faith, confidence in the character, in the nature, and the person of who God is, and confidence in what God has done. Well, that sounds really familiar to verse number 2 of Psalm chapter 150. Praise God for what He has done, past tense, and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise God for what He has done in your life, and praise God for who God is, the character and the nature of who God is. Praise Him for that. James says, if you pray in regards with who God is and what God has done, it is there that you find saving for the sick, and it is there that God does the raising up of the sick. That phrase, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, that same phrase, like be confident in who God is and be confident in what God has done, is the exact same Greek word that's used in Acts chapter 17 or Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, if you will recall, is the passage where Paul has been arrested and Paul is in transportation to Rome, and Paul warns those Roman soldiers and the centurion. He says, hey, we should not get on the boat because God has told me that if we get on this boat that there's a storm coming and the boat won't make it. And they go, what are you? You don't know anything. You're a prisoner. You're just trying to get out of your court date. We're all getting on the boat and we're all going. And so they get on the boat and they set off across the Mediterranean and they make their way to Rome. And what happens? That south wind blows. You remember that passage in Psalms 27? That the south wind blows, and as that south wind blows, up comes the Euroclodon, which is literally like hurricane storm comes up. And what does it do to the boat? It absolutely demolishes the boat. And Paul, sitting on the boat, goes, well, you guys should have listened to me before we left the dock. But if you will stay with the boat, you will live. But if you do not stay with the boat, you will not live. And then his exact phrase is, and be of good cheer. God will save us. That phrase, be of good cheer, is the same word that James uses when he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Be of good cheer. Be confident in what God has done and be confident in who God is. And in that you will find healing, and in that you will find help, and in that you will find a balm for your spirit and for your wounds and for those deep hurts in life. Praise God for who God is and praise God for what God has done. It's very interesting. Paul says, we're about to wreck. The boat is going to be demolished. Stay with the boat, but we'll all make it and be happy about it. Now, That is not the way that we think. No, no, no. I don't want to be happy about it before it actually wrecks and before my feet are actually on the island of Malta. I don't actually want to be happy about it before. I might be okay with it once it's over, but I am definitely not going to be happy about it before it gets there. Oh, no, no, no. But see, in God's economy, the praise, the please, or rather the thank you, comes before the please. In God's economy, God, thank you for what you have done. And thank you for who you are. And whatever storm comes my way, and however my life is wrecked, I will be of good cheer. A.W. Tozer says, what you think when you think about God says a lot about what you think about God. What you think when you think about God says a lot about what you think about God. The psalmist penning the 150th psalm is very confident in who God is. Praise ye the Lord for his mighty acts, and praise him according to his excellent greatness. He's both the subject and the object of our praise. He's both the subject and the object of our praise. Okay, so go back to Psalms 150 if you don't mind. Psalms chapter 150. Look at verse number 3, verse number 4, and verse number 5. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon loud cymbals and praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. So it is first the places of praise. It is second the purpose of praise. And it is third the practice of praise. Psalms 150 is teaching us this, that God likes to be praised with music. God likes to be praised with instruments. God likes to be praised with vocal cords. God likes to be praised with beautiful music. God likes to be praised with loud music, so much so that he specifies with the loud cymbals. God likes to be praised with energetic music. It even says the word dance, and I thought about for an illustration having Brother Michael come up here and do like the funky chicken, but I decided against that, and if I just gave you a mental image, then I apologize. God likes to be praised with music, but don't let someone fool you. God does not like to be praised with all music. God likes to be praised with music. That's true. You can see that in the passage. But God does not like to be praised with all music. In fact, the conjunction with that's used 6 different times, right, reminds us that it is not the music itself, but that it is the music accompanied with a spirit of worship and a spirit of praise that brings honor and glory to God. Honor and glory to God. It is God doing both, listening to the music, but God also looking in at the heart that brings honor and glory and praise to God. So God listens to the music, but God sees the heart. Listen, hear me on this point. We have the best choir in all the land. That's what I think. But listen to me, choir members. God hears the music, but God sees the heart. God hears the music, but God sees the heart. Here we go, special music. God hears the music. And I'm thankful for all the hard work that the special musicians put in. And I'm thankful when they hit all the right notes. But God hears the music. But God sees the heart. God sees the heart. It's the practice of praise. Can you go with me? To another passage, Ephesians chapter 5. This is why the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. This is what he differentiates between verse number 19, chapter 5. Verse number 19. Verse number 18, he sets the precedent. Verse number 18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. At the end of verse number 18, it is a semicolon. It's not a period, so it's not the end of thought. It's a semicolon, which means the thought is continued. Be filled with the Spirit, semicolon. Now he's going to tell you how. Look where. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Can you read the next three words with me, please? Let's read them. Ready? In your to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual singing is an evidence of the Spirit indwelling. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Spiritual singing is an evidence of the Spirit's indwelling. It is not just music in Psalms 150. It is not just music. It is music that is accompanied by the right heart. It's not just the trumpet and just the harp and just the stringed instruments and just the organ and just the loud cymbals and just the high sounding cymbals. It's not just those, but it is with, praise the Lord, with this. But it is first the heart that is praising the Lord, and the heart, God sees the heart, and as the heart praises the Lord, he uses the musical abilities and gifts and tools and equipments that God has provided. It is the places of praise, it is the purpose of praise, it is the practice of praise. God enjoys music, God likes music, but God does not like all music. The music that God likes is the music that is accompanied with a spirit and a heart of praise and a spirit and a heart of worship. Now, if you would still like to see Brother Michael do the funky chicken, you can stay afterwards. Every service. I pick on Brother Michael every service. It's like a requirement now, you know. Verse 6, last one. Look at the participants of worship. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now listen, that phrase, let everything, that's a tricky phrase. That's a tricky phrase. In the Hebrew, that phrase, let everything, here's what it means. Everything. Let everything that hath breath. Okay, everybody, let's do it. Let's do a class exercise. Let's all do this. Now, some of you didn't do it, and I saw. I'm not going to name any names. Brother Kevin, I saw. All right, let's class exercise. Goes. Man, you guys need to brush your teeth. Some of you need to brush your teeth. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You just took a really big breath. You should praise the Lord. That's what he says. This is a really stark contrast. Can I have you go to one more passage? You probably don't even have to turn. But Psalms 148. Psalms 148. This is a really interesting verse. Look at verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow, vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills and fruitful trees and all cedars and beasts and all cattle and creeping thing and flying fowl. Okay, did you see what he just said that praises the Lord? Praise the Lord from where? The earth, which includes the fire and the hail and the snow. That's white stuff that falls out of the sky. I'm not for sure that you're familiar with that. But that's snow. Vapors, that's all. That's called rain. Stormy wind, fulfilling mountains, hills, fruitful trees, all cedars. So here's what he says. The things that don't have breath, they praise the Lord. Their existence
praises the Lord. There's another passage that says, where Jesus talking to the disciples says, if you don't praise me, the rocks, they call out and they praise me. So God gets his praise from inanimate objects. God gets his praise. When the sun shines, God gets his praise. When the waves crash, God gets his praise. When the wind blows, it is blowing in praise to God Almighty. When you hear the wind whipping through your house, you should stop and go, that's the wind praising God. He says, these things praise the Lord. So if inanimate objects praise God just by their existence, then it only stands to reason that living beings with breath and life made in the image of God should then praise God. And that's how he's conclude. That's how the Psalms conclude. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If things that do not have breath, if they praise God, then it is only fitting and it is only right that those things which have breath, particularly you and I, should then praise God. Anyone that can praise God should praise God. Anyone that can praise God should praise God. So let me ask you a question. Can you praise God? Yeah, but Dave, you don't know. I got all kinds of problems, and this person's irritating me, and there's these issues we got to talk about, and there's this worry, and there's this problem, and there's this financial disaster, and there's this relationship I'm working on, and when I walked through the back door of the church, this person didn't shake my hand. I'm sorry. I probably shook their hand. Trust me, you didn't want to shake their hand. It was all greasy and slimy and clammy. You saved yourself, right? No. I understand we talk about the problems, and I understand we use our breath to identify crisis, and I understand there's a lot of worry and fret. But do you have breath? Then the command is, use that breath to praise God for his mighty works, and according to his excellent greatness. Use your breath to praise God for what he has done and for who he is. And when you praise God that way in your prayers, it has a way of putting things into perspective. It has a way of freeing you from that anxiety and freeing you from that worry and freeing you from that need to fix it. And it lets you say, it's yours, God. It's yours. And you are a good, great, gracious, loving, kind God. And when I look at my life, at what you have done, how you sent your son to die on a cross in my place, how you filled me with your spirit, how you love me every day, how you let me wake up today and you filled my lungs with air. And you pray like that. It has a way of changing the way that you pray. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father,